In Matthew chapter 27, we read in verse 27, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spat on him, took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off, put on his own clothes, and led him away to be crucified." When we consider the events that took place in that time with Christ there willingly offering himself, giving himself for us, making himself available to be sacrificed like an animal on the cross, as a perfect Lamb of God given to be our sacrifice, to be our propitiation for our sins. As we consider those things, we consider the turmoil the world was in, the ability for Christ to come to the world and to minister to the world and to let God, let the people know, the world to know who he was and why he was there. And yet, they rejected him as they had done so many other times before. They rejected God. They rejected his word. They rejected his power. And they turned a blind eye to the grace and the mercy that God was bestowing on them. Let us not fall and be guilty of the same thing in our lives. Let us hold up that sacrifice that God gave us of his Son who died on the cross for us. And let us think about the things that he was willing to sacrifice on our behalf. And as we partake of these emblems this morning, remembering his Son's breath, his blood and his body that was shed on the cross for us, let us think about the implications that follow us, that if we didn't have that sacrifice, where would we stand? We would be lost in eternity. And so as we bow our heads in prayer, we consider his sacrifice. Let us think about the sins that we have committed in our past and the things that we do now to redeem the time, to be the kind of person that we should be, but also to give ourselves wholly to God so that we can be acceptable before him and have a relationship with him. Let us pray. Our dear Father, we thank you for your Son who died on the cross, who willingly gave himself up for us. We thank you for his blood that makes atonement for our sins once and for all. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to live lives that are pleasing in your sight, that live up to that sacrifice and to your expectation of righteousness and holiness. We pray that you would forgive us of our transgressions and help us to be pleasing in your sight. I just Christ to pray, amen. Let's pray. Our dear Father, again, we thank you for this fruit of the vine, which represents your Son's blood. We thank you for all the blessings that you bestow on us, and we especially thank you for these acts of selflessness that bring us salvation and give us the opportunity to be in fellowship with you. As we partake of this fruit of the vine, help us to remember your Son and his sacrifice. In Jesus Christ, pray, amen. That concludes the Lord's Supper. Separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, we're also given the commandment to lay by in store on the first day of the week. We've provided some boxes in the back that as you go out, if you're a member of this congregation, you can contribute. And so we encourage you to remember the blessings that God has bestowed on each one of us individually and as families and as a congregation. Let us pray. Our dear Father, we thank you for all the many rich blessings that you give us each day of our lives, the providential care that you take care of us with, and the things that you present to us as blessings and gifts. We pray, Father, that we would not take those things for granted, but make ourselves available to your service and your sacrifice. And we pray that as we have prospered, that we would set aside now a portion of what we've earned to be able to help with the work of this congregation and to take care of the needs of those that we are authorized to do so. We pray, Father, that you would help us to have a heart of servitude and to be willing to work and to give ourselves first. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. If you will, turn your Bibles over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I want to spend just a couple minutes here, and I apologize to the people that are on Facebook Live now, which is three quarters of our congregation. Hopefully that they may not be able to hear very well. Doug texted me a minute ago and said that we're running on just the volume of the cell phone, and it's not very good. So I'm going to do my best to speak up, and you all know how big of a trial that is for me. I'm working down in Lebanon. One of my projects is in Lebanon, Tennessee. And as I was driving into the project the other day, there's an old vineyard, 10 or 12 acre vineyard that is skirts the side of the property that I'm working on. It's owned by the people that I'm working for, but it hasn't been tended in a long time. In fact, it's not been active, I don't think, in 7 or 8 years. And so there's just rows and rows of these posts and wire and old, you know, vines growing on them, and they're productive. There was grapes on them just a couple months ago, but sporadically. There's grapes sporadically, and they're not pretty, and they're just, you know, they look like hedges and bushes everywhere. And as I was thinking about John 15, I considered that look, that view as you drive in there. And I've seen vineyards that are really well manicured and that are pristine, and they even look a little thin because you can see the post and the wires all the way down through there unless they're in full production. But these are bushy. I mean, they're really, really full. And so I asked the owner one day when I was up there looking at the project, I said, I don't think I've ever seen vines that were that full and that bushy. I said, y'all must be really fertilizing them. And he said, no, we haven't done anything to them. That's just the way they are if you let them go. And that's, he said, it's a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of hours out there working to keep them highly productive. And so we didn't talk too much more about it, but he was just making the observation that if you just leave it to nature, that's what they're going to look like. In John chapter 15, in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So here we have a picture of a vine dresser, the man that works in the vineyard. And he comes along and he removes all that extra foliage, all that brushy material that doesn't produce. It's just out there. It's taking up nutrients in the ground. He says, he takes all that away. My Father is the vine dresser. That is God. He says, I'm the true vine. So I'm the main vine coming out of the ground is what Christ calls himself. And he says, but my Father's the vine dresser. And he comes in and he prunes and takes away. And he says, not only does he take away the ones that are not productive, but he also prunes up those that are productive. And to what end? He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So he comes to those that are bearing fruit and he prunes or trims or removes the burdens and the cares and the excess, and he cleans that away and thins it out so that it can focus on its one goal, and that's to produce. And he says, and what's the reason for that? In verse 3, you are already clean of the world which I have spoken to you, because of the word which I have spoken to you. So Christ had already been dealing with his disciples, and he says, I've already been preparing your heart. I've been pruning you. I've been adjusting you. I've been giving you the tools that you need. He said, abide in me, verse 4, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He says the fruit that comes from your work only comes if you're attached to the vine. It's only part of what the master or the vine dresser can allow for it to happen. He says in verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, and without me can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast as a branch and is withered, cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them up and throw them in the fire that they may be burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. When we consider our relationship with God, we think about where our nutrients as a branch on that vine come from. Christ says, I'm the true vine. I'm the one that's coming out of the ground. My roots are down in the ground. And he says that all the nutrients and all this, everything you need to be productive and to be called my disciple and to be have a relationship with God is going to come from me. And he says, if you detach yourself from me, or you are detached by the vine dresser because you're not productive, you'll wither. And he says, what happens with those that wither? They're cast into the fire. There's judgment brought on them. They're useless. And so they pile them up. He says, they cut it off. It falls on the ground. It withers. Somebody comes by. They collect all those withered branches and they throw them in the fire because they're useless. They're never going to produce again. And so he says, if you want to be productive and you want to be productive in God's kingdom, then you have to be attached to me. And that's where all your nutrients are going to come from. That's where the blessings that will flow come from. So what does it mean to be productive as a branch on the vine? He says there that if we're not, we're going to be destroyed. He says, but in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So there's a reciprocity here. You abide in me and my words will then abide in you. They will become part of you and that will come out of you and be what you are likened to. You will have a similar appearance, and so people will know where you belong and what you do and what you say is of the vine or of Christ. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. When we're in need and when we have needs, when we have spiritual needs and physical needs and the things that we can't take care of ourselves, because remember, we don't have a root ourselves that goes in the ground. We can't live outside the vine on our own, so we have to be attached to the true vine. He says, when you have needs, where does the needs come from? They come through me, through Christ. And he says, when you ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. Because God wants us to be productive. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to produce. And so when we say, I need help producing, we go back to the vine, and the vine sends us what we need so that we can continue to produce. We're not a branch that is just growing out here on its own, trying to fend for itself. If we do that, we wither and we die. What we are is a vine attached to the true vine, a branch attached to the true vine that has all of its needs provided so that we can actually be productive. There in verse 8, he says, and by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. All of this is so that we can bring glory to God. Christ did everything. And if we read through John, if we read through 1st, 2nd, 3rd John again, if we read through John's writings, it was Christ said, I am doing what I'm doing to glorify God, so that God is glorified in me and my works. The things that I do are to bring glory to God. When John told us in 1st John, he said, I'm telling you these things and I'm writing to you to encourage you, so that you can have the same relationship with God that we, the apostles, have with God. He said, I want you to be the same, have the same fellowship with God. I want you to be attached to the true vine, is what John told him in 1 John 1. If you're attached to the vine, like the apostles were attached to the vine, then you're going to be productive. The apostles were productive Christians. They were productive in their spirit, in themselves, in their own personal work, in the way that they handled themselves, the way they carried themselves, but they were also productive in getting the gospel out there to others and bringing others to Christ. And so all those things that the apostles did, all those things that Christ did, they brought glory to God. And so as a branch that is fruitful and it's multiplying and that is bearing good fruit, we bring glory to God, which is his whole purpose. And he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Remember, he prunes those that bear fruit so that they will bear more fruit. And so we're glorifying God when we are willing to be pruned, when we're willing to be adjusted, when we're willing to be thinned out a little bit and stretched to the limit and pushed to the limit and fertilized and given the nutrients we need. And when we ask God for help to grow and help God to bear good fruit, then he says, I'll help you. And by doing that, you're bringing glory to him when we bear much fruit. And so that relationship is, it comes full circle. God designed the vine to support the branches, which is each one of us. And then he designed the vine to feed those branches. And then he comes out personally and prunes those branches and brings them up in their production. And so then when he comes to harvest, there's more fruit, which is his glory, because all of it was inside of his plan. If you will, excuse me, turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, there in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness. All these things are the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit of God. God gives his in his Spirit, these are the things that are definitions of righteousness. And when we do these things, when we become these things, when we add these to our character, when we develop these things in our character and they come out of us, he says this is the fruit that comes by a righteous spirit and the Spirit of God. And so the vine, these are the things that Christ has in him. And these are things, how this is how Christ acted. He was all of these things that are in this list. And so when we attach ourselves to Christ, we become more like Christ and we become more capable of being productive in those things. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9 through 11. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. There are things that are right and that are good and that are fruitful, and then there are things that are dark of darkness and they're unrighteous and they're unfruitful, and they go against what God is and what the vine is, and they're a vine. They are a vine. Christ said he's the true vine. But there's darkness and unrighteousness that's also a vine, and we can attach ourselves to that. We could graft ourselves to unrighteousness, to sin. But he says that would be unfruitful. He says the unfruitful works of darkness in verse 11, but rather expose them. Don't attach yourself to another vine that is unfruitful for God, for righteousness, for behavior that is in line with God. He says, you were once in darkness, it said back in verse 8, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Detach yourself from the world and from a worldly vine that feeds you nutrients that will lead to damnation and to judgment by God, and attach yourself to the true vine, and then allow yourself to be pruned and to be carefully manipulated by God and by righteous behavior, so that you can bring yourself into a relationship with God and bring glory to God. If you will, turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, and then again in verse 13. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Down in verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The vine provides peace. But how does it provide peace? It provides us in that, when we know that we are in a relationship with God and we have a relationship with Christ and we have put these the Spirit of God in us and we are reflecting God in our actions. He says that we do that through Christ. Notice there at the very end of that, in verse 7, he says, through Jesus Christ. And it will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. The things that we do to secure our faith are through Jesus Christ. All the nutrients come through the vine. Without Christ, we don't have our hearts guarded. Without Christ, we don't have a chance of having peace. Without Christ, we don't have understanding that's beyond, that surpasses the understanding of the world. And so when we try and act as Christians outside of the vine, when we try and step away and attach ourselves to the world, we lose our peace, we lose our understanding, we lose our relationship with God, and ultimately we lose the ability to assign ourselves to Christ, and so then we're transgressing His law and we're separated from Him and nothing is through Him. There in verse 13, He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can't do anything detached from the vine. Christ is the true vine, and the things that Christ teaches, the things that Christ taught the apostles and the disciples, the things that John says, do these things and listen to me because I'm telling you I have fellowship with God and I want you to have fellowship with God. When Paul says to replicate the things that he did as an apostle, and that's the things I do, those are the things you need to do. They were attached to the vine and all good things came through the vine. And so in verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Through Christ. I can't do anything detached from Christ. I can't become what God wants me to be by making my own decisions, by having my own understanding, filled with darkness, attached to a vine that's the world, not the true vine. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1. First John 1 and verse 3. That which you have seen and heard, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things I write to you that your joy may be full. He says, the things which you've seen and you've heard and we declare to you. I'm sorry, I'm trying to read sideways. These things which you have heard, that we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This is a verse I've been referencing in the last couple minutes. They had fellowship with God, and He says, we've declared these things to you. We've shown this to you. You've seen this, the actions of Christ in us. You've seen the fruit of the Spirit in us. And He says, and just like you've seen the fruit of the Spirit in us, and we've declared to you, and it's apparent, He says, replicate these things so that your joy may be full. Because there is no joy outside of the true vine. There is no relationship with God outside of the true vine. There's no nutrients coming to you for your growth outside of the true vine. There is nothing that we can do to sustain ourselves as Christians outside of Christ. And it may be this morning that you found yourself attaching yourself to another vine, not the true vine. It may be that you've been attached to the vine and that the vine dresser has cut you off. And you know that you're cut off and that you're withering. And I can't answer that for you. I can only answer that for myself. But if you find yourself withering, or if in the future you find yourself withering spiritually, maybe you should look and see what you're attached to. Are you attached to the principles of God? Are you attached to the words of Christ? Are you attached to your Bible study? Are you attached to spiritual things? Is that your focus? Or is that what leads you and guides you and interests you? Or is your interest carrying you away to the world and the things of the world? Or maybe your own judgment and your own good sense, what you think is right and righteous. Those things can mislead you. And those things will cause you to wither and to be drawn away from God instead of to God and connected with God and being fed by God and by Christ and by His words. And so as we seek to maintain our faithfulness, we need to be constantly checking to see if we're allowing God to prune us to be more productive, to be more faithful, to be more careful in our walk with Him, and to be yielding those fruits of the Spirit. And we also need to look and see if there's things that are keeping us back and allowing us to be cut off from God and separated from Him in eternity. As we consider this, if there's anyone who has any need to come forward this morning or to make their life right, to challenge themselves to be a better person and to be attached to that vine more completely so that we can be productive for Christ, we encourage you to do so as we stand and sing.